Hi, this is Ron Darling.
This is Skip Lockwood.
Hi, I'm Ron Swoboda of the 69 New York Mets, and you're listening to Mets Musings with Gary Mack.
Now it's time for some New York Mets baseball talk. Here's Gary Mack bringing you the latest news and analysis from Mets Nation and the world of baseball on another edition of Mets Musings.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Mets Musings. Got a great guest, going to bring him on in just 1 second. But some quick Mets news before we go. Trip out to the West Coast, 3-3. Took care of the Dodgers, 2 out of 3. Lost to the Giants, 2 out of 3. So they came back at an even 3-3. 500 road trip to the West Coast. I will take it any day of the week. And, thank goodness for that. Other news, the bad news, of course, is Francisco Alvarez tore his UCL in his left thumb. He underwent surgery. The surgery was successful. The club suggested this procedure tends to require 8 weeks before a player can return to game action. I expect that we will see him sometime in July. So Alvarez on the shelf, Tomas Nito called up to replace him, and we'll have to get by with Nito and Alvarez until Alvarez is healed up and ready to go. Left-handed pitcher Brooks Raley placed on a 15-day IL with a left elbow inflammation. Not a good thing. He was pitching well, but the Mets have recalled Grant Hartwig to replace him from AAA Syracuse. So Hartwig up, Raley on the IL, Alvarez on the IL, and what else? Let's see. The Mets have released their City Connect uniforms. City Connect, yes. The uniforms that, the extra uniforms that they're pushing now, and usually they're abominable, usually they're ugly. I have to say the Mets is not terrible. It's not an awful offering. I'm still not a fan of it. I think you go with your traditional uniforms, but all things considered, it's not horrible. So, you pick your battles, and in this case, the Mets uniform isn't bad. We'll get to see them, I think, it's Saturday against the Cardinals. They'll be the first time they wear them. And so we'll see how they look on the field. But they're not horrible. You can see the picture here. It is what it is, folks. You know, this is the new age. This is the things that they go for. They want to stress. It's for money. It's another hat. It's another jersey they can sell. And that's the bottom line. That's what they're going for nowadays. So, but as I said, the Mets, all things considered, the Mets uniform is not awful. So, thank goodness for that. All right, let's take a break and bring on my guest right after this. And we're back, and joining me this week, my special guest is Daniel Chaptaw. He is host of the podcast Meet Me at Musial, covering the St. Louis Cardinals. And Daniel, welcome to Mets Musings.
Well, thanks for having me. Appreciate you being able to join you. I'm used to hosting, so I'm usually the one that does that. So.
Now, Meet Me at Musial is an interesting title. Of course, that refers, I guess, to the Stan Musial statue, which is probably the meeting point for everybody. Much like the Big Apple, the home run apple from Shea Stadium is now in the courtyard or whatever you want to call it outside of Citi Field, and everybody says, I'll meet you at the Apple. So I guess it's the same kind of thing there.
Yeah, same kind of concept. It's the I don't live in St. Louis, but the general Cardinal fans know that if you're going to meet somebody up there, it's a real easy landmark, so meet me at the Mutual.
Daniel, the Cardinals, I guess it's honest to be to say that had a lousy year last year. It was not Cardinals-like, let's just say that. And they made a lot of changes in the offseason, and they're still struggling a little bit this year. 11-14, they're 5 games back. They're last in the Central. Of course, as we know, the Central Division, that really doesn't mean anything because, you know, they could win 4 games and be in first place.
That is fair. The Central has been a little bit tougher this year than we thought because everybody but the Cardinals is over 500, but it's still not necessarily the division you think of as a power division.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because Milwaukee's playing very well. And even in the American League Central, Cleveland, which is a bit of a surprise, they're playing very well. So maybe this is the year that the Central divisions change a little bit. Who knows?
I don't know if I go that far yet. We'll see.
Okay. Well, injuries have played a big part, though, in the Cardinals' problems so far this year. Why don't you talk? They added some big name free agents: Sonny Gray. Who else? Kyle Gibson came over, and Lance Lynn, and they haven't exactly been working out so far, have they?
Well, it's interesting. They probably have done better than some Cardinal fans thought. Sonny Gray came out of spring training with a hamstring issue, and so he missed the first couple of weeks. Since he's been pitching, he's made 3 starts now. He'll make his 4th this weekend against the Mets, and he's been everything that you could expect. You know, an ERA of about 1. He had 12 strikeouts in his last game. Nobody's worried about Sonny Gray. Gibson has been one of the best pitchers that the Cardinals have had so far this year. He had a blow up against the Marlins, which has skewed his ERA a lot. But you know, yesterday he went out against the Diamondbacks and threw 6 innings of 1-run ball. He's thrown 6 innings or more in every start, and he's kept up in ball games. He hasn't necessarily won them because the offense has been spatty, but he's been pretty good. Lance Lynn came in. He brought his personality, which is always fun, but he's struggled a little bit. He hasn't got as deep into games as we thought. He's had 1 game of 7 innings. Everything else has been about 5. His first couple games had some weather issues, so that didn't help him. But he's still going to be fine, I think. If he's your 3 or if he's your 4 or 5, you're probably okay. It's when he has to be a 2 or something, that's a different story.
And you know, we always say around here that I still don't understand why a lot of these teams are playing at home in April and March when they could have started the season really out in the West Coast or in a dome stadium or something to that effect. And that does play a big part in it.
It does. The Cardinals did actually skip their part of their – they've already been out west twice already. They started with the Dodgers and Padres, came home for a short homestand, then went back to Arizona and Colorado. No, Oakland. Sorry, we got Colorado later. So they've already been out there a little bit, and now they're going, obviously, to the East Coast. But you're right. I mean, anytime you're playing in – you'd rather be playing in warm weather places this time of year. And, you know, rain's always kind of weird. If they were in St. Louis this weekend, it'd probably be rained out. So, you know.
Yeah. I know it's tough to figure because but I think there's a fairly enough teams with between the domes and the warm weather to really get that accomplished. But, you know, I don't know why they continue to do it that way. But, you know, it They do. Yeah. So yeah. We're not going to change that, right?
No. No. Well, I don't think you'd want the Mets being their first home game being like May 15th or anything.
No, you'd like to see it, but I don't know. I always felt like the Northeast really is a place for more of a dome type of stadium than, you know, Miami or Arizona. And I understand why they have it because the heat is so bad, but, you know, you'd still, I don't know. Yeah. It's just, it amazes me that Minnesota built a new stadium and didn't have a dome. I mean,
At least a retractable one.
Same thing with Colorado when they built that ballpark. I don't, because they got the craziest weather. I mean, they played in a snowstorm the other. I don't know who the heck they were playing. Was it Boston? Excuse me. But they were playing in a snowstorm and crazy stuff. But let's get back to the Cardinals a little bit. The hitting has been down as well. They're, I think, 26th in offense in the league. And Paul Goldschmidt is struggling. Is it just a slow start, do you think? Or could age be catching up to him? Or
it could be either one. I mean, when you get to the age of Goldschmidt, 36, any kind of slow start is – problematic. But Goldie has been a slow starter before. The year he won the MVP, he had numbers that were very similar to this at the beginning of April. Now, he was 2 or 3 years younger, too, so you don't know. I will say he looked well this weekend, this last series with the Diamondbacks. He had 2 multi-hit games. He had a home run. He had a double. I'm starting to think that maybe he's starting to come out of it. But, you know, the Cardinals didn't give him an extension this winter. He didn't necessarily ask for one either. He'll be a free agent at the end of the year. I mean, he's got a lot to prove, and we'll just have to continue to see if age is a problem.
And going into a free agent year at his age, it's going to be tough. You know, we see a lot of these guys that were free agents this year and that didn't sign until quite late. Blake Snell, and he just went on the injured lists. Jordan Montgomery just made a start, and we're still waiting here for J.D. Martinez, though we may have a J.D. Martinez sighting this weekend. So you may get the J.D. Martinez. Cardinals coming off a series victory over the Diamondbacks. As you said, they took 2 games out of 3. Mets are coming back from a road trip. They went 3-3 out in the West Coast, which will take, as you know, anytime you go out to the West Coast, you can come back 500, you take it and you run with it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, that's what we were saying at the beginning of the year. Cardinals had a 7-gamer through L.A. and San Diego and wanted to come back right at 3-4. And I guess they did. No, I think they only won 2, but still. You're right. Anytime you come off about 500, you're doing great.
Yeah, you're happy for that. I remember many years ago, the Mets went out and came back, I think, 11-0. But that was the old when they did the Giants, the Dodgers, and the Padres, you know? And then I don't understand this new scheduling where, the multiple trips back and forth, the craziness. If you're going out there, go out there, play those teams, and then come back home. I mean, it's nuts that like you said, you were out there, played the Dodgers and the Giants, and then you went out again and played Colorado and Arizona. It's a lot of wear and tear. It's not as bad on you guys because you're halfway there, you might say. Right. But still, it's tough on teams, you know, to keep traveling back and forth like that.
Yeah, and I want to ask you then, if you don't mind, what do you think of this, new schedule, this balanced schedule where you play everybody? I got to say, I'm not a huge fan of it.
I am not a fan of interleague play at all. Thus the balanced schedule. No, I don't like it because I think you know, the claim was for what, so you could see the teams, travel reasons, but I think it's made travel worse for everybody. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a fan at all of this, and you know, as far as I'm concerned, I'd rather go back to the old way where you had a National League and American League, you played each other, and the only time you saw one another was during the All-Star game or spring training or that sort of thing. Other than that, I don't really, yeah, I don't care for it.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
What about the new rules that are in effect? How do you like the extra inning rule, for instance, the runner on second?
You don't have time to get me started on that extra inning rule. I mean, Cardinals lost the game this weekend by that rule because, you know, tied it up. And they had a great comeback, tied it up in the ninth. And then you had got the first two guys out and then just a little broken bat flare. Runner scores, and you don't score in the bottom.
That's it.
I mean, it doesn't feel like – I mean, if you wanted to start that in the 12th or 13th inning, maybe I could get behind it. But starting in the 10th just seems wrong.
You know, that's actually a good point, though. I never really thought of that. Start it later on when it starts dragging out. I know it seems like a lot of the people like it, but I don't like it. I think it's stupid. I don't think it's baseball.
The players like it, though. It gets the game over faster.
Yeah. I know Keith Hernandez likes it, too, because he gets out of there quicker, too. So now, we mentioned injuries, and you've had your share of them this season. What are some of the big ones that have really made an impact on this team so far?
Well, probably the biggest one that's made the impact for so far is Tommy Edman. Being out, he had a surgery on his wrist that was supposedly minor. It was so minor that the Cardinals didn't even mention it at winter warmup, which is, you know, around in January. And that's the first time we found out about it. And it has lingered and lingered, and there's been inflammation. He's backed off. He's still probably, even from the last updates, I can't imagine he's a month to 6 weeks at best from coming back. You know, they lost Dylan Carlson right at the end of the spring, and he was starting to look good, but he dove for a ball, actually ran into Jordan Walker, flipped over, hurt his shoulder. He's probably he's starting to come back, but he's probably 2 or 3 weeks away as well. So, you know, those guys have hurt to some degree. You're starting to get other people back, like Lars McBarr, Sonny Gray, all those kind of guys are coming back. But, you know, missing those guys on the offense is not, you know, even though Tommy Edman isn't necessarily the world's best hitter, I think sometimes he kind of is a really good piece for this offense.
Mm-hmm. And Nolan Arenado seems to be doing okay offensively. Did I read that he's struggling a little bit defensively, which is odd for him?
He did last year. And I think when Nolan came over to St. Louis in, was that 19 or 21, I guess now, I can't remember, I can't get him straight. But his first couple months, he struggled defensively. And I think it was him getting used to what Busch Stadium looked like, you know, how that shift played. Last year, you know, they took the shift away. And I think it just took a while for him to get readjusted to how to play, you know, different with the shortstop not maybe right next to him, various things. This year he's looked pretty good. It helps that he's got Mason Wynn next to him, who's covering quite a bit of ground and has that arm that everybody knows about. But it seems to me that we're hearing a lot less about him having issues, and he may not put out the most spectacular plays like he used to, but he's still got them in his pocket.
And how old is he now?
Oh, he's getting to the mid-30s for sure. I think it's 32, if it's off the top of my head. This is his 32 season, so... You know, he's still got some stuff, but, you know, again, like Goldschmidt, you start getting into that, you know, mid to late 30s, you start wondering about what's going to happen offensively and defensively.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he seems to be – he's been around for so long, it seems.
Yeah, yeah. Those guys that come up young, they it's like forever.
And so the pitching matchups are – let's see. We got Jose Budo against Mikolas on Friday night. Hauser for the Mets against Sonny Gray on Saturday, and Quintana versus Lynn on Sunday. So it looks like we got your three big names there going against us.
Probably. Like I said, it's probably good for the Mets that they missed Gibson and got Mikolas, because Mikolas has struggled quite a bit lately. And I know you're probably disappointed you're not going to get to see Steven Matz, but his last start was really, really bad. He's not been that bad before, but last start was terrible. You're going to get Gray, and that's any time the Cardinals have Gray going, they feel pretty decent about the series.
And you mentioned Matz, so he's been having a decent year.
Yeah.
For Steven Matz.
It's interesting. You know, he's had this is the third year of the 4-year contract the Cardinals signed him to when he came out of, I guess, Toronto. But he's been, in the rotation, in the bullpen. Last year, he came back out of the bullpen, looked really good at the end of the year, but then got hurt. So then it's really just trying to determine if Steven Matz can be a starter for an extended period of time and be successful. And, I think a short sample, you can, but, can he do it for the whole entire year? I think that's still up for debate.
And he always tended to get on a roll, it seemed, and then he'd get some sort of injury or some sort. So it's a shame, too, because he's got good stuff. But, boy, he sometimes you just can't figure him out.
Very true. Very true. Yeah.
So what plays right now are the hot plays that the Mets fans should watch and the Mets team should be, pitching either carefully around or, try to avoid completely?
I don't know if there's anybody that you have to avoid completely right now. Although Nolan Gorman starting to maybe heat up. He's had a really slow start. He had a walk-off home run on Monday night. Had a pretty good – I think he got a base hit yesterday. Maybe starting to heat up a little bit. Mason Wynn is the guy you want to watch. I think if you're watching the game, you're going to want to watch Mason Wynn because he does – defensively, he's quite good. He's got an arm. I think everybody knows that he can throw it 100 miles an hour over to first, and that's not an exaggeration. He plays very good defense, and he's been one of the more consistent hitters. He doesn't necessarily hit for a lot of power, but he's got speed. I think he's already got a couple of triples this year. I would want, him, Brendan Donovan's going to be a problem. Lars Nubar has a possibility of popping. What, again, if Wilson Contreras has been pretty strong this year as well, although he may be DHing more than catching because of Ivan Herrera. We'll just have to see. But, again, nobody is just tearing it up. There's some that are doing well, but I don't know that there's anybody that you're just saying, if he's up, you're doomed.
I'm always
offense. Nobody is.
I'm always afraid of Goldschmidt. So
that's fair.
You never know him. He can break out of it at any time and, and kill you. So, we got killed in San Francisco by our old friend Michael Conforto out there. He was off to a good start. Good for him. I was glad to see that. I got to see him play in Brooklyn when he was in the Mets minor league. So I was a big fan of his. So I hated to see him leave the organization. But, such is the way it goes. What's the talk about the uniforms in St. Louis? How do the players feel about it? And to me, they look cheap and they look, the small letters with the number with the names on the back. It's just not good.
They're not great. It was funny, when they came out in spring, you had Miles Mikolas really complaining about them. And then, MLB puts out a press release that it's quoting Nolan Arenado in a positive way. So I don't think Nolan's was maybe more of a paid endorsement, but they're not great. Fanatics being behind means that as far as I know, y'all won't see the powder blues that the Cardinals have, which is probably good for you. Cause I hate them. But they're behind on their Saturday road stuff, but the Saturday home creams, which are nice. But yeah, I don't get it. I really don't know why they felt like they had to go changing around some of this stuff when it was working so well.
I am with you. I don't understand it. And have you guys had the City Connect uniforms yet?
The Cardinals will have theirs announced. They're releasing them on May 20th, and their first game that they'll use them is May 25th.
Because the Mets just announced theirs, and you're going to get it Saturday, I think.
I think I've heard that. I thought they looked pretty good. What did you think?
Well, I don't. In general, I don't like them. I don't like the City Connect, the whole thing. I think they're ridiculous. I have to say, the Mets aren't awful. Though, you know, it's a funny thing here because a large part of, you know, they always stress the NYC, the New York City. And yes, they play in New York City. They play in Queens. But a large part of their fan base is really from Long Island or upstate New York or Connecticut even. And it just, you know, it is what it is. And that's never recognized. But, yeah, I was surprised that they came out as good as they went. And I think the key to their uniform really was the white pants in a strange way. Because it's muted, but the white breaks it up. You know, like when the Dodgers came out with the whole blue, and some of these teams got the whole, you know, I think the Phillies had the red and red pants and everything, and they look like old softball uniforms from the 50s, you know? And I'm not a fan. I thought San Diego was horrible. I thought Boston was horrible. And I don't understand it. I you know... The teams have great alternate uniforms. Why are you messing around and taking away? You don't like the powder blues, but that's part of the tradition, you know? And now they're going to pull them out of the rotation to put in these City Connect things that I could go on, but.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, you're right. The City Connects have been. They either really kind of neat or they're really, really bad. And I am a little bit concerned about what the Cardinals are going to look like because, I mean, they're going to use red. I feel like pretty obvious that they're going to have a red top. Hopefully then that means white pants. But, you know, how over the top is it going to be? You know, St. Louis is not, the St. Louis uniform, the white home uniform is one of the best in baseball. I think. Mm-hmm. Biased, of course, but it consistently ranks up there. See, and all of their uniforms are fairly understated, I guess, if you will. So I'm a little bit afraid of how, if they go over the top, what it's going to look like. But, you know, hopefully it'll be a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and their logo is so traditional and so iconic. I don't know why they insist on playing around with those things, but, you know, we're not going to solve that. So so it should be a good
got the old drums.
It's going to be a good series. You're not even going to see a regular Mets uniform till Sunday, I think, because Friday night's supposed to be their black when they wear the black uniforms, mm-hmm. the black shirts and the black hats. And then Saturday, if they wear the City Connect, so you don't even get to see this hat until Sunday. So,
yeah, I tell you that Mets uniform, that white with the pinstripes, you know, just takes you back to the Cardinals and Mets rivalries of the 80s.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Strawberry and Gooden and all that. So seeing those is always a treat.
The old NL East days with the Cardinals and the Mets fighting it out there. You guys just recently lost an icon out there, and Whitey Herzog passed away. Any thoughts on Whitey before we go?
I mean, Whitey was – I mean, when they name a style of play after you, you're doing something, right? I mean, he was – he revitalized St. Louis in ways that could never happen today. I mean, hired as the manager and then basically takes over as general manager, goes back to being both, then – is just manager, but he gets to construct a team that he wants, and it worked so well for that unit, for that stadium, and the play, the way things went. I don't know how well it works today because of different, just the way baseball has changed.
Yeah,
but for that time, and that he was visionary, and it was pretty amazing.
And, you know, he's got a track record with the Mets, not as a rival, but he actually worked with the Mets organization in the early days. He was, I think, the farm director for a while. So
that's right.
I think he really set up a lot of those winning teams, the winning team, the 69 team, and brought in a lot of those, or drafted some of those guys, I should say. Guys came in by trade as well. But, so a big loss to baseball and a big loss to St. Louis, as well as the Mets alumni, if you will, and a Hall of Famer. But, you know, you can't complain. 92 is a good run.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll take that.
Yeah. Well, Daniel, I want to thank you for coming on today, and go ahead and plug whatever you want to plug.
You can find me on Twitter at C70, and that's where all my links wind up. But Meet Me at Mutuals, the podcast. I got a Substack I write at occasionally. So, just follow me there if you're interested.
Okay. And thank you for coming on again. And I'll be back right after this.
Baseball and BBQ, your place for interesting baseball talk, opinions, and history.
Baseball and BBQ, your place for barbecue recipes, tips, and interviews from the world of barbecue. If you like baseball and if you like barbecue, then tune in to Baseball and BBQ. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and BaseballTalkRadio.com.
And now it's time to go down on the farm. And this week, down on the farm, we got some great pitching performances by Christian Scott and Dom Hamill with Syracuse. And the rest of the pitching staff at Syracuse combined last night for one hitter, as a matter of fact. J.D. Martinez made his AAA debut and had a big game last night with two hits and drove in two runs in a Syracuse win. Brooklyn had a blowout win last night and have been playing some good ball this year, and Douglas Orellana, I hope I got that right, tossed five innings of relief for Brooklyn last night, and Ryan Clifford is starting to warm up, and Colin Hock as well are starting to warm up in their minor league season. So minor leagues are starting to get rolling now, and as we come in, it's been cold in Syracuse and Binghamton, even in Brooklyn. The weather's been pretty uncomfortable, if you will, for the fan base. You see the people wrapped up in their winter jackets still, and it's been chilly, but they're starting to play a little bit better. So look at the standings. Syracuse is 12-9, and they are a game and a half back, tied for third in their division. Binghamton is 7-9, 3.5 games back in fifth place. Brooklyn is 9-8, 2 games back in their division and in fourth place. And St. Lucie is 8-9, 3 games back in last place in their division. And these are all first half statistics. Don't forget they they play halfway through the season and they restart again. This is the first half of the season for these teams. They could gel and rebound. Syracuse is always tough, though, because the Mets are always calling up guys and bringing guys. Sometimes it's tough for a Triple-A team to gel, but they're playing pretty decent ball lately, so we'll just keep an eye on that. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this week's show. I hope you enjoyed it. I want to thank my guest, Daniel Shaptaw of Meet Me at Musial, a St. Louis Cardinals podcast. Thank you for taking the time to come on and to explain to us a little bit about the St. Louis Cardinals. Gives us a look into their team. I hope that you will enjoy the show, but I hope that you'll also subscribe and hit the like button and do the same on the audio version of the podcast. Subscribe. That way you'll always know when a new episode of Mets Musing is coming out. And we're available all over the place. YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, whatever you think you wherever you get your audio or video podcast, we're probably there. So go check us out. If need be, just go to MetsMusings.com. We're there, and you'll get audio, video, whatever you want. So check it out there. All right. That is going to wrap it up for this week's show, as I said. And St. Louis comes in for three games this week and should be interesting. Coming off a series win with the Arizona Diamondbacks. And so we'll see the Cardinals and then the Cubbies come in for a couple of days as we go into the month of May. So we're already through April. May's coming up fast. So we'll see what that brings. So until the next time, remember to keep the faith, stay optimistic, and let's go Mets. I'm Gary Mack. I'll see you next time on another edition of Mets Musings.